Thank you for sharing, Justin. That is a powerful word. I'll tell you what. We need more conviction. We live in a world lacking conviction. And if there's something that needs to be heard today, it's that. Because without that, we will be as a dog, just turning back, licking up our own vomit, or a pig, or a sow, whatever, just wallowing in the mud again. And it'll only be worse than the first time. The Bible says so, and I was just encouraged by that. That's something you don't hear much of today, is conviction. We live in a world where everything is just whatever's right in your own eyes, and we're scared to share our faith because we might offend somebody. And we're afraid to share what really comes in our heart and what we believe, because we're afraid someone else might not think that way and it just offend them. I mean, if we're afraid to share what we believe, then really, why do we believe it? We just do what's right in our own eyes and call it good. I really appreciate that, and I feel like that's something that we need to hear today, is that we need to live by conviction. That is, when we read something in the Word of God, what is conviction? How does conviction come? It's just simply by believing the Word of God and believing what it says and doing what it says. It's not by saying, oh, well, I don't really feel that way. Well, that's beside the point. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is our foundation. It is the Word that we need to believe. And if we read it, it should be conviction. That should be. Because that's why would God write all this book just to give us maybe an opportunity to live how we want to, when he wrote all this scripture for our inspiration, for our correction, it says, for direction. Thank you, Lord. I'm so excited this morning about that, to come from a younger generation is very rare. So I just appreciate you sharing that, what's on your heart this morning. We were at a funeral yesterday, and I was just so blessed by the message yesterday. I would have loved to have my tablets. I could write a few more notes down that I wanted to remember. But one thing was, if you're dry and you're in need of a revival, he said, serve someone. He said, if we live our life in a way that we will serve people. Christ's whole mission on this earth was centered around serving others. And if we would live our life that way, we wouldn't need revival all the time. We would just be revived, because when we serve others, that is when true life really happens. That's speaking to me. I was just blessed by that one comment that he made there. What a blessing this morning. We have the Word of God to stand on. We have direction. We have the Word here this morning. Paul spent, I don't know how many years in prison or whatever. All that time he spent in prison was a purpose that God would give him time to write the scriptures so that we would not be in the dark. Like, he didn't just send his spirit, but he gave us instruction even in the Word. And through the Spirit, it reveals the truth from the Word of God. And I just confess this morning, that was a challenging thing. I'm going to be sharing from Romans 7, verse 14 to the end, and through Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. And as I was studying this portion of Scripture, I just felt like I just couldn't grasp it. I don't know. There was just something. I just feel like so inadequate this morning in sharing this, because there's such a depth to what Paul wants to speak to us that it just takes a complete laying aside of the carnal mind if we want to understand it. And I don't feel like I have the ability to share that there this morning, but we're going to just share with what I have. We're going to start in Romans 7, verse 14. And this portion of Scripture is kind of challenging, because we think if we're born again, why are we continuously struggling doing things that we don't want to do? Or doing things that I wanted, I should do that I'm not doing. But I just want to say this morning, there wouldn't be this struggle in your heart if you weren't born again. That struggle didn't begin until we got born again. There wasn't no struggle in my heart until I got saved, because I just did how I wanted to. And I might have had some convictions or had some limitations, and yet it was only my own thing. It wasn't from the Word of God. It was just based upon what I was comfortable with. But when I got born again, there was a battle that started raging in our heart, in my heart, of doing what's right and needing to do what's right and yet not finding that to do it. Let's start in verse 14. It says, in my heading here, it says, the sin nature still remains. You know, after we get born again, our sin nature, which is who we are, who I am in the flesh, as I was when I got born the first time, I was born with a sin nature, and actually, it's hard to say this, and yet the word is clear. I was hostile towards God. Our sin nature and everything about it is hostile towards God. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. In other words, it's not the problem. The problem is not with the law, because here it's saying the law is spiritual. So it's not the problem that we have a law. The problem is that I'm carnal, sold under sin. That's the problem. It's me that's desperate to do wicked or to sin or to live by my own nature. That's the problem. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, in 15, I do what is right. I want to do what is right. Instead, I do what I hate. That's opposite from the spirit. That's our sinful nature. And if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. So basically, it's good that there was a law, other I would just not know better. If there would have not been a law, I'd just do how I want to and feel like that's okay. And I make my own law. And we realize that that didn't happen to us when we were unsaved. We just kind of walked according to the prince of this air, however it says there. 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Some of us want to take that and say, well, then it's okay because it's the sin in me, it's not the spirit. But let's keep going. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That is, in our sinful nature, there's absolutely nothing good. And even to find something in me that would like to do good is not there. That doesn't go down well with me, that there's actually nothing in me that's good. We just somehow want to claim something. Surely, something that I do would be from myself, right? Paul's seen this. There is nothing there. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Verse 1 in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm just going to read to 17 and then we'll come back and look at a couple of these verses. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do we believe that? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Then we go back to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you know, a lot of versions will stop right there. I use different versions as I study, and I don't know why, but when you're walking in the flesh, or if to walk means to be occupied with, when you're occupied with your flesh, with your carnal nature, with what you have in mind, what you want to do, if you're walking after the flesh, there should be condemnation. If you're a believer this morning and you're walking after your own lusts, your own fleshly things, there should be condemnation. That's just what conviction is. There should be a conviction in our heart that would not allow us to walk there. But it says if we are walking in Christ, if we're walking after the Spirit, if our desire is to be occupied with the Spirit, there's no condemnation for you not doing something that you know you should in the right perspective. I mean, if you know, and this happens to me, I have many days where I come to the end of the day and I know there was just, I don't know why I did that again, but some reason I did. And it just condemns me. And yet, my heart is not to be that way. I have a desire to overcome. I have a desire to live in a way that these things wouldn't trip me up. There is no condemnation to coming to a place within Christ and just saying, God, I'm sorry. I messed it again. I missed it again. I messed it up again. I messed up your witness or a witness as one of your children. There's no condemnation. He's ready and his mercy is more. If we have us in a heart in us to walk, for the law of, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And I guess this is one verse I just about can't wrap my mind around. And it's just, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And when you think about the law of life or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what is it? John 8:36, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So if the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. And what's the law of sin and death? It's just the law of our sinful nature is death. Like we are, as people, we are under that law of sin and death as long as we live. That's never going to leave us. We're going to die. According to, we just all have that. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and that's because of the law of sin. And that just naturally, we're going to die. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made us free from that. We do not have to live under that law. Like there's a Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that will free us from that law of sin and death. And if I look back and I think of just a, I just remember this was after I got saved, there was a, just dealing with a sin in my life that I was just, in a sense, I was kind of innocent. I wasn't innocent, but yet it was just not something that was just, I was battling. And yet one day I just confessed and shared with a brother. And from that day on, I was free. And it's just like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from that law. And there's just many ways that as we walk, if we walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, when we have that law of sin pressing in us, pressing us down, or it's making us, the law is really, it is to condemn. Like the law was set in place to show us the desperate need that we have, I guess. The law of sin and death is with us until we die. It's part of us, but we override it with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are able, by the power of the law of the Spirit of life, birds fly by life, not by law. It's just who they are. That's just part of them. It's not like they choose. It's almost like us when we breathe. It's not like we make ourselves to breathe. But it's just part of us. It's part of our law, I guess you would say. It's just part of us. And if we're in the Spirit, if we walk after the Spirit, this same thing, just the Spirit of life, it becomes a law to us, or a life. It's just, for what the law could not do, if you look at verses chapter 7, 14 to 20 or whatever, the law could not do. It just tried. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus Christ came in that same sinful flesh that we're clothed with. He came with that same flesh on him and condemned sin in the flesh. So therefore, because he came and he showed us the pattern, he showed us the possible, the reality of that we can walk in this Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and it can free us. Jesus did that. He came and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now this is just another verse that, you know, could almost like baffle us. Like, we're not here to fulfill the righteousness of the law. I thought Jesus did that. But it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if we're walking after the flesh, if we're occupied with the Spirit of Christ, we fulfill the righteousness of the law. I know Christ did that. He fulfilled all that. But we're here as his joint heirs with him. We're here. We're fulfilling the purpose that he put us here, is fulfilling that righteousness of the law. Not as a law, I got to do this, everything, every I has to be dotted or T-crossed, or I won't make it. It's not in that sense. We're here by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and through that, we become free to fulfill the righteousness of the law. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So that mind is setting your affection on. In other words, they that are after the flesh, they set their affections on things of the flesh. So if you're walking after the flesh, your affections are going to be after things that please your body, please your flesh, please you. But they that are after the Spirit have their affections set on things of the Spirit. And I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 to 10, I think it is. Just a great reference here to this. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. So really, that your walk would portray that you're risen with Christ. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore, or put to death therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, which is that carnal nature, with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Walking after the Spirit instead of after the flesh. And it is by the Spirit of Christ that we mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. That's when that conflict between good and evil, when that conflict is in us, when we're having a conflict between something we know we shouldn't do and yet we're doing it, and we conflict with that. There begins a conflict in us and we're not willing to give it up. But when we allow that thing to die, whatever it is, a dream, vision, whatever it might be, we allow that thing to die, and by the Spirit of God, we become free from that and we live like we never did before. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, we have these days, we're just more carnal than other days, and I don't know what that is. But I think that's why we have wives. They help us, they remind us at times, and it's good when our wives remind us that you're kind of carnal. But I appreciate that. You don't have to leave now if you don't want to, but yeah. No. But no, I'm for real. This is, to be carnally minded is death. And I guess I'm just blessed by the fact that, you know, just because there's days where we become carnal and we have days where, you know, when we operate more in the carnal mind, and it doesn't work, and I know that, but there's still days that happens, and I'm so grateful for a helpmate and others who can remind me that there is better ways to walk. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're talking about the difference between death and life this morning. If we're spiritually minded, excuse me, there is life and peace with that. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that word enmity is is opposition or hostile or hatred. Our carnal mind hates God. And it's hostile towards him, and it opposes anything of God. That's just kind of hard to wrap our mind around. We're so human, and we become so carnal at times. And to realize that this is not of God, this is opposite from what God wants. This is not our carnal mind never did obey God's laws. I mean, it never did, and it never will, and it can't be. So then, if we walk in the flesh, we cannot please God. There's no room for maybes. If we're walking in the flesh, we cannot please God. But I'm encouraging verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If we know that we've been born again, God's Spirit come into us, and we got born again. It says, it gives us encouragement. You're not in the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit. And yet, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So we need to know that when Christ is in us, when Christ is our life, there can't be two lives. When Christ is our life, our body is dead. And that is where we need to be, to allow Christ to be our life. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he's going to also raise us up to dwell with him. And he will quicken our mortal bodies. What a blessing this morning. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is, if we're led by the Spirit, we can be confident that we are his son as well. Then it's just so much more that could be shared in Romans. Romans is just a packed full good book of instruction. We'll go to chapter 12. I want to read out of here some and just finish out with this and just recognize how is this done? Like, how do we go from living under the law of sin and death to the Spirit of life? Or like, how does that all look? Or what does that, when we get caught in the law of sin and death, when we find ourselves in that place where we're operating out of that, or we're walking in a place where we shouldn't, and maybe our carnal thinking and we even call common sense good, but I mean, I don't know that common sense is exactly spiritual. It's maybe good in practical ways, but like when we start reasoning with things out of our flesh, and well, I'm afraid I wouldn't, if I know we have 10 children, and you know, if we have too many children, maybe I can't do what I want, or maybe if I give myself over here, then I won't have this freedom, or like we start reasoning with the flesh. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, don't worry about it. Just give it to him. One that's alive, one that'll be willing to serve what he asks. Just present it to him, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or it's just like, this is something we can do practically. It's just give him our bodies. Let him have his way. And this is how. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's a verse, be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, be ye filled with the Spirit continuously. It's a continuous thing. Be ye filled with the Spirit. And I think this is the same thing. Be ye transformed by the renewing. In other words, it's a continuous thing. That renewing of our mind is how we get transformed. Our mind has to be renewed. Well, I got born again. I thought my mind is different. I thought I have a new spirit. Well, the thing of it is, we still have to deal with, we actually can still give our carnal mind place to operate, even when we're born again. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we're going to live and we're going to fulfill the perfect will of God in our lives, then we're going to have to be transformed, and our mind's going to have to be renewed, because everything that our flesh would want, everything that we would want, all the comforts of this life and whatever else might go with that, that has to be renewed if we're going to actually fulfill and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're not to think more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Like when God gives you something by the Spirit of God, he moves different people to do different things. Through the grace given unto me, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And if you read throughout this chapter, there's just a lot of good admonition, I should say, for us to live and to walk in the Spirit. Like we read the Word of God to give us direction how to walk in the Spirit. Like it's sometimes it's maybe not as spiritual as we think to walk in the Spirit. Like it's just to obey. Like that is walking in the Spirit. When we obey God, we're walking in the Spirit. When we read His Word and it says, be not slothful in business. Well, I mean, it would be very unspiritual to be slothful. Or like if you walk in obedience to that, then that's walking in the Spirit. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality. Like this is spiritual things. This is walking in the Spirit. This is learning how to walk in the Spirit when we fulfill the Word of God. Rejoice, or bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And that was just kind of something as we went to the viewing the other evening and kind of had this thing of, Lord, how do you weep with those who weep, or mourn with those who mourn? How is that? Like if it doesn't, it's not something that I'm going to be weeping about because one of our uncles had a stroke. And yet, for some people, this is their father, this is a husband, this is someone very dear to them. And they're weeping because of, you know, the separation and the loss. How do we weep with those who weep? And I'm not sure exactly how that all looks, but It also says, rejoice with those that rejoice. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is how we walk in the Spirit, when we walk with this. And this is how I believe conviction can come, is when we read the Word of God. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I don't know if it's possible to live peaceably with men when there's not peace in here. It says, as much as lieth within you. There must be peace in here first. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's natural. It's only natural for us that evil overcomes good. That there is a natural way of it just happens. If we don't pursue to come overcome, if we don't pursue to overcome evil with good, it naturally just, the good is overcome with evil. That there, and he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think in that way, we walk in the Spirit and we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we can by that, by persevering and overcoming evil with good, we also overcome we overcome the flesh by walking in the Spirit. All right, Jesse, I'll let you close.